Yep, that's right. We have a Pride logo. That's something that we never thought we would have in common with Chick-fil-A.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are live at Convergence with our guest, Laser Milena Weber from the Double Clicks. Laser wants to talk to us about what the perfect church is, and we might already be there.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God live at Convergence 2019. I am your host, Tim Wick. I am joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hey!
And Molly Glover.
I'm Molly Glover.
And today we have an amazing guest. They are a Convergence 2019 guest of honor. It is Laser from the Double Clicks. Also joining us for reasons that defy understanding is Jeremy Stomberg.
I hope that that like weak applause doesn't even get picked up by the mic.
Wouldn't that be ideal?
That was great audio. Thank you, Jeremy. That was fantastic. Well done. So, Laser of the Double Clicks. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
And we are excited to have you. You just had a concert last night. Did anybody go to the Double Clicks concert last night?
Oh, yeah.
Those of you that are raising your hands, I'm going to remind you, this is radio. Okay. So thank you very much. You and your sister, Aubrey,
yes,
are part of the Double Clicks. You did a wonderful job. We're not here to talk about the Double Clicks. I don't know why.
Screw those nerds.
Yeah. We are here to talk about the perfect church.
Yeah.
The perfect church. Here on Geeks Without God, we're talking about the perfect church. So you want to frame that idea? You want to frame that for us?
Well, I've been listening to your podcast. It feels like you guys don't even believe in God, which is so crazy. Thank you. No, I grew up going to church a lot, and then it turns out I'm gay, and that wasn't super cool with them. And it made me really mad, because I feel like there are good things about church that is the reason that it keeps going. But there's so many bad things that it would be cool to have a good church, you know, where like everybody is super chill and like being nice is more important than a old book that's fake.
So maybe not even like a Christian church.
Oh, absolutely.
Sort of like a cool place everyone hangs out.
Yeah. Well, I was literally like thinking about this morning is like there should be rules where everybody has to be nice and like it's super important to understand people's differences, and also if people need food, there's free food. And then I realized I was inventing Convergence.
I mean, it is the perfect church. If I had to pick one, it's right.
It's
a yearly pilgrimage.
It's not a cult.
Hey, now the thing that I have to say in defense of church, bear with me for a second.
What?
Wait. Bear with me for a second. I was raised Catholic. I went to church, and it was a hippy dippy liberal Catholic church that I went to until shortly after I was confirmed. Yes, I was confirmed at the age of 15. And what I have to say positively about church is I hated it with every fiber of my being.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that contributed to making me an atheist was the knowledge that as an atheist, I would never have to go to church again.
That's
a positive about just sort of generic regular church for me.
Sure. Yeah, I went to church until basically the end of high school. I was the youngest altar server at our church, and I was an altar server until the robes were no longer tall enough for me. Like I was like in there day in. I was in the choirs and stuff, mostly because if you went to do those extracurriculars, you didn't have to hang out in Sunday school.
My family were in the daycare, so that we wouldn't have to actually attend the service. But my mom felt like we were all going to church then, because we were all just taking care of the kids and the babies in the daycare.
And this is what I'm saying, like if there was a time every week where people didn't have to deal with their babies, but other people who like babies got to be like, oh, look, a cute baby.
Yeah.
That sounds like a fun time to me. And then there's like donuts, and but then also we could listen to stories, and I think the stories, instead of being about old men, should be about like unicorns and stuff.
If we're just removing unicorns away from basically describing Unitarian Universalists.
Yeah.
Like and that's dope. I mean, not donuts, maybe bagels is more their jam.
Yeah.
My mom's Unitarian Church had ice cream, which was instead, yeah.
Oh.
So that's even better.
I'm in for ice cream. Yeah. I'm in for ice cream at church.
I went to a Unitarian church as a teenager, which I feel like was lost on me because of the kind of teenager I was. I didn't realize at the time how lucky I was to get that as my church for that time.
You really were.
Yeah.
I mean, before that, it was like lots of Lutheran stuff. There's lots of ministers in my family. My grandfather's a kind of a Fred Rogers, Jimmy Carter type Lutheran minister. But the Unitarian stuff, like we went through, it was used to be called OWL, AYS. Now it's called OWL, Our Whole Lives. But it's like the most fucking in-depth with visual and video aids sex ed that's like...
Sorry, fucking in-depth sex ed. It's just like really like... Yeah. Just moves.
And it was about owls fucking?
Yeah.
Well, it is the birds and the bees, Laser.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Sure, Settler and Settler were there.
Yeah. It used to be like about your sexuality, and then they changed it to Our Whole Lives as like a more inclusive kind of.
I like
so it wasn't
that,
just about sexuality. It was they talk a lot more about like gender identity and it ties into like strong social justice themes, and that's just like what they do for their teenagers. That's just a thing that you go through.
That sounds like it needs to be part of your church, Laser.
I agree. Well, everyone by law will have to be gay also. Mm. And I don't... And that does feel like maybe negative for some people, but that's like, it's just how it goes, because it's my cult.
Welcome to the real world, jackass.
Well, maybe you know, if we go with the idea of convergence being the perfect church...
Absolutely.
I mean, the thing that I think... annoyed me more than anything at church was the sermon. And the nice thing,
none of that.
The nice thing about convergence is there's kind of like a different sermon every hour.
Yeah.
And you can pick which sermon you want to go to.
Yeah.
And you can actually participate in the sermon. So if you feel like the sermon is really fucking wrong about Star Wars, you can,
you can
raise your hand and like instruct the pastor about how they're totally wrong about Jar Jar Binks. And, and you can't do that in regular church.
No, I think, I mean, like, on a serious note, like, a lot of church is, like, a white guy telling a bunch of women how to feel about God. Like, that's just a lot of what church has always been. But I think if we could change that to mostly be about Star Wars, and I think that people have the same level of strong opinions about Star Wars as they do about God, and like my interpretation is correct, and this is the true one, and then
there's a lot of fan theories about God.
Yeah, there are a lot of fan theories about God.
There's the first three books that a lot of people largely ignore in favor of the middle books, and then there's even like the Joseph Smith like fanfic parts in the middle where there's like the books that no one should read because they're bad and it's weird and no, I'm into this.
This was
legs.
And then there's the New Testament, which is just flipping all the tables in the temple.
Yeah. I love it. So Jar Jar Binks is what, Leviticus? What are we doing?
Oh yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That's Job. No. Jar Jar Binks is Job, and I'll tell you why. He is constantly being tested and somehow coming out. I don't know how. He just manages, right? So, like, despite everything being thrown at him, it seems like cosmic forces are trying to kill Jar Jar Binks to win a bet, and yet he perseveres. There.
Counterpoint. Jar Jar Binks is literally swallowed by a leviathan at one point. I don't know. I think there might be some other arguments there to be made.
That's great. And then also the original Star Wars and the original Bible have about the same number of named female characters.
and their whole purpose is giving birth to male characters.
Hey, some of them are also like whores who should be shunned. So
that's fair. That's fair. I'm like, just I'm Church of Phasma. It's all Phasma.
Great, Tony.
Have you read the comic they did with her backstory?
Oh, I sure have.
Oh,
it has been given to me by multiple people. It's so good.
It's dynamite. She is so much more badass than the movies like suggest.
Have you read the novel?
No, no.
Oh gosh, you have to. Well, you have to for a lot of reasons. But the main character in the novel is Vi Moradi, who's actually now a character at the Disneyland Star Wars world, and Priscilla Dawson is writing a book about her that also ties into the. Anyway, so that's what our church is mostly reading Phasma novel and talking about it.
Molly's car is named Phasma after the character.
Oh, that's so good.
Do we get shiny helmets?
Everybody gets a shiny helmet.
In your church?
Yeah.
Shiny helmets.
Well, I think that's the other good thing about churches, like robes and capes and stuff.
They need a funny hat.
Yeah, so like I love traditions. As I get older, I'm like getting away from the internet and trying to spend more time with other humans. And then I realize like I wish there was a place every weekend where we could all just chill and hang out, and it was not expensive. And then I realize that's what church is. But I think if we also got to wear Phasma hats and capes and stuff.
And I think the other nice thing in the convergence comparison is if your church is, say, I don't know, more Doctor Who.
Right.
That's fine. I mean, there's a different room for Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Where you can just argue about the best doctor is all day.
And he regenerates just like Jesus.
And, yeah.
Oh, your savior came back once? That's cute.
But I'm like Jesus. He's going to help you whether you believe in him or not.
Absolutely. And now he's a girl.
Right.
I suppose we should say them, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose
at this point, the doctor should be a them.
Yeah. The doctor, I think Jodie Whittaker's doctor is a great illustration of how genderless the character is. It makes me so happy. Mm-hmm. I love Doctor Who. Let's just talk about that.
We can talk about Doctor Who in our church.
Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Would it be a different sect than the Star Wars Phasma sect, or would you feel that it was an all-inclusive sort of...
Oh, no, it's everything. I think everybody gets to hang out together. I think that's the point, and I think if your church doesn't include everybody, then it's just, like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
I think, like, any church that doesn't have a pride flag hanging in front of it should burn down.
I'm really...
Take
this.
That, Notre Dame!
Truth to power! See one? I'm just,
That's legit.
Well, now we all have a purpose. Now we know what we need to go
April,
do.
April, okay.
if churches are supposed to be a entity of public good, and that's part of how they operate, like tax-free, and ultimately they're supposed to be contributing to society in some way, but they're have like a cornerstone of that is based in exclusion and bigotry in some way. It's like, I feel like that immediately negates all those benefits you get.
Absolutely. And then the churches that don't necessarily believe that, I think that you just have a lot to answer for. I have a lot of Methodist friends because I grew up Methodist, and when I started like posting after the decision was made, I was like, this is dumb, and this is why church is bad, because it just contributes to people hating themselves and people bullying people and people killing people and killing themselves. It's just like you are enabling this ideology that homosexuality is wrong, or any of the other things that church says. That should be like your main shit. You should be as loud as the Westboro Baptist Church if you are a church that doesn't believe that gay people are evil or sinners or whatever. It's just
here in Minnesota, our Methodist coalition voted to deny that.
Yeah!
And so Minnesota Methodists for the win, you know?
And how do you get to talk about Doctor Who in that church? Or
I don't know. My uncle is a Methodist minister here in Minnesota, and he is not cool enough to talk about Doctor Who, I'm afraid. I don't think he knows. Yeah. That's what I said, cool enough.
That's right. That's right, cool enough. And again, I have a problem with the fact that church is set up in a system where you can't challenge the opinion of the person standing on the pulpit delivering their sermon. And even if you agree with their opinion, you can't challenge it. They just get to talk, and you don't get to like raise your hand and have somebody call on you and then go on like a 5-minute tirade about how you agree with them or you disagree with them.
And that sounds just like fun. What a fun time.
That would be great.
Everybody arguing. No, I agree. I think our church, okay, so you go into our church, if you choose to go to like the main hall, which is decorated with unicorns and rainbows, it's mostly just collaborative fan fiction. And everything kind of has a moral, like, be nice to each other. Basically, all of the signs that the Convergence has, like, make sure to eat and shower. Yeah. Not every disability is visible. You know, use whatever bathroom fits your personal, you know, identification. That kind of stuff.
That's, cosplay is not consent.
Cosplay is not consent. But then it's also always a talking unicorn or Doctor Who or something like that.
And there's hot rice ready for anyone that wants it.
Damn straight.
Yeah. I mean,
the thing that bothers me about real church and compared to Convergence is in real church there's only one person that gets to cosplay.
This is so. I mean, if you're an altar server, you also get to.
Oh, okay.
You grew up Catholic, Tim. You know this.
Yeah.
I was in a hippy dippy Catholic church.
Yeah.
We didn't have altar boys. Thank you. I'm glad that didn't happen because we know what happens when there are altar boys in a Catholic church.
I don't know, Tim. What happens when there are altar boys?
I don't know. There weren't any in mine.
Happened in my Methodist church too. But what costume are you going to wear to church?
Ooh.
Okay.
Jedi robes.
Yeah.
Like, it feels the most churchy costume to me is, like, Jedi robes or maybe, like, wizard robes. Robes, it's something flowy and, like, you know, you can spin in it a little bit and it does something fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that is churchy to me.
Fox Rebirth robes.
Yeah, that's good.
From Star Trek 4.
Yeah, I'd wear that.
I think a Big Lebowski the Dude costume for me, just so I can be very comfortable.
Yeah.
And also explaining that, I mean, that is one of, if I had a philosophy, I think it's just, you know, the Molly Abides. So I think I can go with that, yeah.
This should really come as no surprise to anybody who knows me. I'd probably dress up as Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And every time somebody opened the Bible, I'd just be like, don't look, keep your eyes shut.
I'm surprised. I'm actually shocked you wouldn't just wear your Porg onesie.
Well, that would be fun too.
Yeah. You can mix it up.
I could do a different cosplay every Sunday.
I think there should be a cosplay like cabinet, like a religious robe. So you walk in, you're like, today I'm feeling Mace Windu or whatever, and then you just.
What would your cabinet have? Like, what would be your set outfits ready to roll out?
Oh, I feel like you'd build them, right? So this is all robes, and this is all capes, and this is all shiny hats, and this is all like ties.
So you could do like a crossplay.
Exactly, you could do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
mash-ups.
We need a loose fitting sweatpants cupboard, please, with pockets for snacks. I feel like that's very important to my church experience. Well, if I can't have snacks during it, that's a big reason I didn't like it in the first place. So.
Yeah, I got to be honest that for me, like the thing about church that I was just waiting for, because of course you go to it first thing on Sunday.
Yeah.
I was waiting for communion just because I could have something to eat.
I was terrified of communion because a nun scared me about it. a nun told me that if you bit down on the host, it would turn to flesh and blood in your mouth and then you would go to hell. So you had to like let it dissolve on your tongue until it was like mucky enough that you then swallowed it whole and you could not chew the host or you were chewing Jesus. Yeah, no, it wasn't a fun time. I was a very anxious child. It didn't really do.
That's a lot of, I feel like a lot of churches like weird stories like that of like, if you even think about masturbation,
right?
Going to hell, it's like, how am I not going to, you told me to not think about it. Yeah.
I was very worried I was going to go to hell because I couldn't control my dreams. and that I was going to go to hell because I would wake up having dreamt really awful things and like,
Oh, that's like all of, that's a big problem. Like everything, I think people are just like, well, if I think it, that's what I think. And it's like, you can have bad thoughts and then act good thoughts, and that's cool.
Yeah, but apparently it's not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, guilt is, you know, useful, right? I mean, like, that's kind of the point. You know, you keep people feeling bad and give them this path to redemption that keeps you in control and keeps you in power and, you know,
I think there should be achievable goals at the church instead of like a constantly striving to something you're never going to achieve. Instead, it's like you wore a hat 3 days in a row. Here's a pin.
Gamification of the church.
Yeah.
I like that. Like Kickstarter stretch goals. For like when you go above and beyond, it's like you did such a good job that you also get like a sticker and a postcard and.
A cool Star Wars sticker, not a dumb Jesus sticker, because it'd be like, oh, you get a sticker. I'm like, great.
Well, they
freemium games on your phone, right?
Yes,
you
know, exactly.
When you give money to a freemium game on your phone, you get something tangible in return.
And so do they.
They get money and you get fake money. But the point is...
Is there going to be a schism between like the early adopters who get like the special thing and other folks that get just normal, boring stuff?
Well, it's church. I don't know how you avoid schisms.
It's true. I mean, even with conventions, you get schisms. But I think
that's why this.
And then you get awesome conventions.
Yeah. I think that's actually a good point, because when I went to church, there was like an attendance pin. Did anybody have these, like the Sunday school pin, where if you went every day you'd get a pin at the end of the year? And I never got one because I would always go out of town and still go to church, but I wasn't at this church.
Yep.
And then all the kids who would bully me did get the pins. And it just feels like Jesus shouldn't love them more than me, but apparently he does, because they have pins.
That's like a reverse Sneetches situation.
Exactly. Yeah, so I think less competition. We were talking about the comfortable clothes, which reminds me, I feel like the main purpose of church should be a good place to go when you're hungover in the morning on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's like a, it's time for like coffee and contemplation. Like, we can all just sit together and be in the same room without...
Low lights.
Pipe organs are not really convenient.
No.
No, not at all.
Anything that can be described as thunderous, I don't want around me. That's just no.
But once again, like convergence, I mean, the advantage you have is if at any point church is kind of like boring you or you're not interested in it, right, then you can just go and take a nap.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ooh, our church needs a sensory break room.
Yes. I think these are great ideas. I'm afraid that I actually, we need to get on to five questions.
Five questions.
Okay, here we go.
So, Laser, we did send you our five questions,
yep.
So you would be prepared ahead of time. These are five questions that we like to ask all of our guests.
Okay.
The first question is, what is your favorite conspiracy theory? It doesn't have to be one you believe in, but just one. Which one do you find most interesting or compelling?
Keanu Reeves immortal is my favorite conspiracy theory.
I haven't heard this. What?
Oh, that just Keanu Reeves is immortal.
That he's immortal?
Yeah, because it's like he hasn't aged, and there's also like, I feel like there's like Renaissance paintings that pretty much have Keanu Reeves in them.
Oh,
and
sure.
Like he's always been around.
I love that.
There's some like Duke or something that's like they look exactly alike. It's really eerie.
Yeah.
All right, question two. What is your perfect two-week vacation?
Yeah.
Money is no object, but physics remains a limiting factor.
I'd probably go to New Zealand. I still haven't been, and that's where my religion, Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings trilogy, lives. So I just kind of need to go and look at it. And then maybe Australia if I have some time. But yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, Australia, everyone's second choice.
The spiders are big there, and they don't have any hobbits, so.
It's if you take New Zealand and just like stretch it out, but it's not a higher resolution, so it just gets all like grainy and shitty, like that's Australia.
Yeah.
It's like New Zealand around the edges.
Yeah.
And the desert in the middle. That's what it is.
Sorry, raster image. So question three is, what movie or book changed your life, and like how or why?
Oh gosh, it's the same as that one. My favorite movie is the Lord of the Rings Return of the King behind the scenes documentary. I've probably watched it 30 times, and it's just, it like makes me love the concept of creativity when you're doing it with your friends and like you're all just enjoying the moment of creation. And then Orlando Bloom is also there, which is chill. So yeah, it just kind of makes me want to make stuff, you know, and enjoy the process of it.
Yeah.
Cool. Why don't you do question number four, Molly? I'll say.
All right.
Yeah, all right.
Question number four. What is the geekiest thing you've ever done?
What is the geekiest thing I've ever done?
Laser of the double clicks.
I know. This is very hard. I met Neil Gaiman, and I kept telling him, insisting that he'd never met me before, which was just like, I could not be honest. But he was like, no, we've met. And I was like, no, we haven't, Neil Gaiman, stop it. It was the most socially anxious, bad choice I've ever made. Just like, be nice to Neil Gaiman for once. Yeah.
That's pretty geeky.
Yeah.
need to do that with everybody now. No, yeah. We haven't met.
No, I promise we haven't.
I'm sure.
I would remember Neil Gaiman.
Right?
Yeah, right. Neil used to have Guy Fawkes Day parties at his house when he still lived here. And I went there many years ago, so maybe he just caught the...
Oh, yeah.
No, blue hair.
Otherwise, we look exactly alike.
Yeah,
we
look alike.
For those of you listening at home, they both have blue hair.
Yeah.
And clearly, that's the only thing that distinguishes the one from the other.
Roughly the same height, probably, too.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Roughly the same height. Yeah. Blue hair. That's how...
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone tweeted earlier this week that, like, convergence, the one place where you can't use hair color to, like, pick your friends out of the crowd.
Yeah.
It's
true.
All right, so question number five, I get to ask you, what is your favorite hangover cure?
I don't drink that much anymore, but when I do, I sleep. So that's mostly what I do. This morning I had some plain rice.
That'll do it.
Yeah, sleeping and then sleeping more and then playing Stardew Valley for about 8 hours.
All right.
Yeah.
That is a great hangover cure.
Yeah.
Wow. So we have reached nearly the end of this first of two episodes we'll be recording here at Convergence 2019. We need to say a huge thanks to Laser of the Double Clicks.
Thank you.
It was so great.
Laser, if our audience wanted some way to access your music, perhaps bring it home with them, or perhaps purchase it online in those few times that they aren't interacting with each other in meet space, as you feel is better. Is there a way for them to do that?
The doubleclicks.com has our stuff, but if you just search the doubleclicks on iTunes or Spotify or YouTube or up in the merch booth here, we will be there for you always.
All right.
Hooray.
All sorts of great music by the Double Clicks. You should look for that. Laser is going to stick around and join us for our next episode, which is about something Laser knows nothing about.
I don't know.
The Church of Professional Wrestling. So, we have been Geeks Without God. If you enjoy our podcast, of course, we do have a Patreon. You can support us with a small contribution per month. If you support us with a $2 contribution per month, you will receive our episodes early. That's right. Somebody, maybe somebody you know, has already listened to this episode and you didn't get to because you were too cheap. So...
And I'm working on putting together an RSS feed for patrons so that they can use an RSS feed for like a podcast app or something to get those episodes early rather than having to manually download or stream from the Patreon site. So that's something in the works, but...
Yeah. I can help you with that.
Oh, there you go. The next episode won't be recorded because Laser will be doing tech support. Thank you all for being here at Convergence 2019. Thank you for listening at home. We'll be back next week right around this time.
Bye.
Bye.
In a sad irony, just like church, I slept through most of Sunday at Convergence. Womp womp.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
That's just for the listening audience to think that we do something weird that they don't know about.